You may notice in your bulletin that I'm asking anyone who would like to show their talent on whatever your talent may be can do so at our Christmas party. Okay, and there's sign-up sheets in the back for whatever you want to bring to the Christmas party. With regards to the talent, no matter what it is, if you can make bird calls, that's fine. We won't laugh. If you can do a kazoo, if you can sing, dance, play a horn, a guitar, fiddle, bagpipes, we don't care. If you want to say a poem, if you want to just get up there and read, that's okay. So, what you need to do, though, is let Mary know so that we can kind of have an idea of how much talent we have here. I really don't think it's a matter of talent. I think it's more of a matter of courage. Okay, let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, it gives us the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize your faithfulness. And we depend on that faithfulness. We're so thankful that we can always depend on you. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We recognize that you control all things. That you love us with a love that we can't even understand. In fact, the only reason that we have any capacity to love others is because you loved us first and give us that capacity. And we pray that you will help us to focus our full attention as we study your word this morning. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to continue with the fundamental series. We're on the third floor of the divine domain. But before we do, I've got to get something off my chest. It's this Black Friday business. Things keep slipping, folks. I was not feeling so good lately, and I was sitting in a chair, and I got tired of just feeling bad. So I thought, well, I'll watch TV a little bit. Usually, I just watch the news, and that's not any good either. Some people get up in Wednesday. They start standing in line Wednesday in front of these stores. You know what that means? They're missing Thanksgiving. But that's not important. They got to get more stuff. And they can save a little money on that stuff. And of course, the news media is there. And the stores are hip to this. Open up 4 o'clock in the morning. And there are lines waiting to get in. And I'm thinking, do those people know something I don't know? And to say that reeks of commercialism and materialism is, that doesn't even hardly cut it. It's just that people have become so superficial. Got to get more stuff. Well, I have I think 2 or 3, maybe 4 slides of Black Friday that I made in 2007. Some of you hadn't seen them. And so it's probably gotten worse by now. I don't think they were opening up the stores at 4 o'clock in the morning in 2007. But this is the way Thanksgiving began. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas are the two... Well, you have Easter also, but Thanksgiving and Christmas are the winter holidays that have to do with Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God for things that we have. And in our culture today, that can't stand. We have to get rid of these things. But this is just showing what they were truly thankful for. And I don't see any luxuries there at all. If they had enough food to survive and clothes, they were truly thankful. And we live in a land of tremendous, tremendous abundance. And yet, there's hardly any thanksgiving at all. It's what we need is more stuff. So here is in 2007. George, can you kill these lights over my head? Maybe they'll be able to see. There you go. Is that a little better? Thanksgiving, Black Friday, 2007. And you'll notice that's a lot of folks. And they're just shoving to get in. You know what? I've never seen that in front of a church, have you? Huh? These people have spudazzo for stuff. They're hungry, eager, aggressive for stuff. That's on the outside. This is on the inside. Do they not have carts anymore? I just avoid department stores like the plague anyway. I think it might be the lighting. I can go into those and take about 5 steps, and I got to go sit down. I'm just weary. I think it's the fluorescent lighting, maybe. I don't even like those things, but there's no room for a cart. How do they carry their stuff? Just walk. Do you look at the faces? And they stand in line to get in there. Look at this. She found her stuff. Look at this one. She looks like she's blindsided from the other side right here. She's happy. She's probably found her stuff. Now they're racing. I don't think they're going to keep that smile when they get to the checkout. There's probably about 300 people in front of her. The race is on. More stuff. Now this next one is sad. You know, sometimes cartoons can just really capture it. This guy's looking up at the star. He says, "What's that?" His wife says, "Hopefully a light to the next sale." Look what they got. They're loaded down. Well, I could say more about Black Friday. I guarantee you, if I was in any of those crowds, it'd be a Black Friday for me. More and more, I'm noticing that the TV, I know it's just a medium, and there's good and bad things on it. But I'm having a harder and harder time trying to find anything good on it. I noticed that the day before Thanksgiving, they had all these stars from all these shows. I guess they're on TV. And one after one, they were saying, "Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Happy holidays." And I'm thinking, I don't remember people saying happy holidays the day before Thanksgiving before. I think what they're trying to do is take Thanksgiving instead of, we used to say happy Thanksgiving and just leave the Thanksgiving out, and they're trying to combine that with Christmas. And those terms, Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving, are on their way out if you don't notice it. The propaganda on that TV is incredible, and the power to bend minds. Whatever people hear, the terminology they use, they pick it up and they use it. And I'm not a prophet, but I wouldn't be surprised if within another year or two, you won't hear anything except happy holidays. And children are going to start asking, what are What is the happy holidays? What is that about? It's going to get to a point where the parents don't even know anymore. And that is a strategy of Satan. But I guarantee you, this is one country boy that is not going to say happy holidays to anybody. And if somebody says happy holidays to me, I'll say, well, Merry Christmas to you. You know, there's no law that says we have to use their same terminology. And I don't say chairperson either. And they just shorten it now and they say, the chair is going to speak now. What do we have, a magic show? What? They have gone so far. Well, I just got to I'll just cut this off and get on to the message because it's I feel better now. I just couldn't let that slide. There is so much mind bending going on, and you guys don't think it's just the women that are there doing the shopping, because the one guy that I heard that was going to pitch his tent at the front door on Wednesday at noon, well, it was a guy. And he was just as happy as a bug in this, well, I don't even guess, it was just a sleeping bag. It didn't rain. I was hoping it was going to rain that night. Well, okay. Let's get on with our nutcracking here. As I said, we are on the fundamentals. We're on the third floor of the divine domain. We've gone over all that, and we're still in faith rest. You remember, faith rest is taking the promises of God, the doctrine that you have in your soul, and mixing it with your faith. It's not that hard. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. We're going to be scripture laden today. So if you want to make some notations, you know, one of the hardest things to do when you're under pressure is stand still. You ever notice that? Whether I'm under pressure or not, when I'm on the phone, I'm walking. I cannot stand still and talk on the phone. Now, I can sit down and talk, but if I'm on my feet, I'm walking. I guess it's just the opposite. When something's really heavy, I stop when I'm talking on the phone. But we have several scriptures that tell us to stand still. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. God is telling us, be still. Quit being antsy, anxious, squirming. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord, which He will show you today. And they were between a rock and a hard place, remember? Pharaoh's chariots were closing in. They had the Red Sea there. And Moses was up in front of them saying, stand still, the Lord's going to deliver you. And they had a choice, just like you have a choice. They could either stand still and relax and wait for the Lord to take care of the situation, or they could go back and try to find some rocks and start stoning Moses. That seemed to be the cure for whatever the problem was. Remember every time they ran out of water? Well, let's stone Moses. This time it was too much water and it was all in the way. Job 37:14. Hearken to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Standing still means stop conniving and trying to manipulate things. Standing still is very close to waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and they will not faint. That used to be one of my dad's favorite verses. I used to think about that when he was getting weary, that there was a time that he didn't have to worry so much about the physical weakness, because he was quite a man. But eventually gravity and age and illness and all those other things will take its toll. These are promises, by the way, that we can depend on. Then we have Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Have you ever noticed how fair-weathered friends are hard to find in times of trouble? The Bible says that God isn't only present in times of trouble, He's a very present help in times of trouble. And yet people will go all over the place looking for help except to wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You see, when you're waiting patiently, it means you're at rest. It means you're rested up here in your soul. You're not anxious. You're not fretting. So that was Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. You ever wonder why some of the worst rascals prosper? Of course, we think prospering means being rich, having a lot of stuff. The Bible tells us, don't worry about them. Do you think they're really happy because it appears that they're prosperous and they have money, they have a new car, and it seems like they don't have anything to be concerned with in those areas? None of those things bring any happiness anyway. The Bible says, don't fret about those things. But our job is to rest in the Lord. We might say, faith rest in the Lord. And wait patiently upon Him. You know, there's a difference between waiting and waiting patiently. I know the difference. I know more about the one that's not the patient kind. And that's no fun. You know, if you have an area that you have trouble with, like patience, guess what kind of testing you're going to get? I usually get it on the way here sometimes. Some hay wagon will be there, and there's a yellow line I can't pass. And I'm just, thank you, Lord. I don't do that every time, but I try to. You know, we're talking about faith rest. I'm going to give you a verse in a moment. Let me turn to it so I'll have it ready for you. We have to apply these things to our circumstances. So I'm going to give you a scripture that was really helpful to me. Years ago, several years ago, I was doing construction. I was building different homes around the country, around Texas anyway. And I was going to do a home in the Austin area. And it was a modular type home. It was the first type of home that I was going to build as a modular home. It's pretty big. It's two-story. Nice home. And I had to go up there and find a crew and so forth. And once the house got to the dried-in stage, I would be able to live in it. But when I went up there at first, I couldn't afford a motel. So I went to Travis State Park. It has beautiful Lake Travis there. And I had a tent, and I had a Coleman stove, and I had a bar of soap. And I just camped out until the house was at a point to where I could live in it as we were building it. And I can remember that it wasn't so bad. You might think, oh, by yourself and doing these things, but you just slow down. And it's actually quiet. And it was a really beautiful place. And I waited till it was nearly dark to slide into the water and do my bathing. I didn't want to scare anybody. But then at night, I was laying in the tent, and you know, this is a public park. People can come in and out anytime they want to. Every once in a while, you'd hear a car go by and so forth. I'm thinking, you know, I could probably take care of myself, but I can't take care of myself when I'm asleep. And I was having a hard time for a little while there thinking, what can I do about this? Now, I'm going to read you this verse, and then I want you to turn to it. Don't turn to it yet. I want to read it to you. Then you can turn to it. The verse is Psalm 4:8. And this is the psalm, the verse. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for Thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. Now turn to it. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. This is a song of David. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for Thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. By the way, that's a good verse to teach your children. If they are afraid of the dark, or if they're afraid to go to sleep, or whatever. Now I want you to understand, that verse would mean absolutely nothing to me unless I believed it. And you know what? I believed it. And any anxiety I had before, when I started to go to sleep, I was thinking, I believe that verse is the Lord and Him alone that makes me to dwell in safety. He said He lied. Not only did He lie down, look at the verse. I will both lie down and sleep. There's a difference between lying down and sleeping. So that's an illustration of a faith rest for you. It's just taking something like that, something that's in the Word of God, and applying it to your circumstances by believing it. And that's all you have to do. And I used that verse so many times, I didn't have to go to it anymore. When I went to sleep, when I would lie down, I would just think, it's the Lord that makes me dwell in safety. I don't have to, it's in His hands now. And off I would go. I miss being away from the home, but there were things that happened. I can remember there was a kind of a cliff there. And I was sitting on the edge of that cliff, and I was just taking in the wonders that God had made. And a bird flew over there and landed so close I could touch it. I don't know what kind it was. It was a pretty bird. And I looked around to my left, and there was a big old buck standing about, 20 feet from me. And I thought, am I in an Uncle Remus cartoon? What is this? Because they don't know what an Uncle Remus cartoon is. It's just really being close. But you know, if you're worried, if you have anxiety, it doesn't matter where you are. You're not where God wants you to be, because He wants you to have that rest. He wants you to have that peace. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord, He is the one that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Fear not and be not dismayed. And then Isaiah 41:10, which is probably my favorite verse. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When He says, fear not, for I am with you, that's all you got to know. He's never going to forsake you. He's always there. Okay, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who executes a plan, but not mine. Ever done that? Have you ever executed a plan and it wasn't God's plan? And make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. What were these people not doing? Right. They weren't faith resting, were they? And God doesn't take kindly to people who don't faith rest. See, God has a plan. What is God's plan for you when you're in trouble? Wait and trust. That's His plan. But they got anxious and decided, we'll go. He already told them to go to Egypt. God. And it's private crow. It's a people to restriction of the Lord. Stand still. Wait. Problem was, they weren't real in the Lord. That, or who say to the seers, you must not see visions. I don't really want to hear any of them being told what they should be doing. They want to their own course to do it, and they do not like anyone, and they do not like to be corrected. Even God. So this is written to also. So the prophet speaks bottom of high illusions. A lot going on today. Come in. Turn about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, with that man, thus says the Holy One, since you have rejected her and have relied on them, it to be upon you and who cut like the smash of potter's soul, closely shattered the hard will not found up, take at the hearth, and reward from a sister.
do what I say and the Lord hearken to my word. Trust you unto my test. If you will such you can even me. If for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, and underlines that. In repentance and rest you shall be saved. Repentance is changing your mind. Change your mind about being on the panic button. Changing your mind about calling all your friends and telling them for the third time your problem. They're tired of hearing it. They've got their own problem. They tell it to everybody except the Lord. Why even tell the Lord if you're not going to trust Him to take care of it for you? Why say anything to the Lord if you're not going to believe that He even is able to do anything about it? In repentance and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust is your strength. Quietness and trust. But you were not willing. Some people, when they're under pressure, are anything but quiet, aren't they? You know why? Because there's no quietness in their soul. If you have quietness in your soul, you can just have quietness and not be complaining and not blaming and finding fault and excusing and self-pity and all the other things. You can just be quiet. Even if it's undeserved suffering, that's fine. The Lord is going to see me through this. What's my job in issues like that? My job is to wait and trust. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. I understand what you're saying, and it sounds fine. I'm on board with it. But there's still decisions to be made. I mean, isn't that the case when there's issues, when there's problems? Usually there are time constraints and there has to be decisions made. And that's another layer of problem, isn't it? Because then you can worry about making the wrong decision. And so you think, I understand, I'm on a faith rest about the problem. I've got the faith, the problem over here. I put the problem on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your burden on the Lord. He cares for you. I put it over here. But now I'm over here and I've got to make these decisions. And now I've really got a problem because I don't know what's the right thing to do. I'm not sure. What do you do in a case like that? I could say, well, just put that one over there too. But I'm talking about in a pragmatic, practical aspect. What do you do? Well, good thing to do is go to the Lord in prayer and tell Him you're having a problem with this decision. You're not sure which one the right thing to do is. Asking for help and guidance in making that decision. If it's something that, maybe a mature believer that could be a help, maybe they could have some insight on it. But the bottom line is you're going to have to decide for yourself. Make the best decision you can. And then you know what you do? Forget it. It's done. Because this is the greatest thing. This is how great our God is. If you make the wrong decision, our God can turn it into good. How about that? Huh? And when you understand that the issue, see, you're taking the problem back by thinking, excuse me, if I make the wrong decision, I'm going to ruin the whole deal. I know that God's in charge of this, but I got to make this decision when I do. Oh, man. Do you think God is going to leave something in your hands and ruin the whole deal? Do you think His faithfulness and His omnipotence and His power depends upon you making the right choice? When you've gone to Him, you've asked for guidance, you've done all you can, and you make the decision. Do you think that if it's the wrong decision, that He's going to be undone or hampered or hindered by that? God can take the worst of circumstances and turn it out for your good. But you know what you've got to have first? You've got to have faith in Him. So whatever that decision is that's lurking out there that you're dreading to make, the first thing you do is what Moses did and Aaron did when people had the stones in their hand. Go to the Lord in prayer. Just tell Him about it. And get all the facts. Don't make it an emotional decision. And then make it, and once that decision is made, stick with it and relax. Forget about it, because the Lord is going to make it turn out for good. It doesn't matter what you decide as far as what God can do. And you know what that's called? Faith resting. You know what Matthew 11:28 says? Won't y'all turn to Matthew 11:28? You need to mark this one too. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What do you have to do in order to get the rest? Come unto Him. Bring your problems to Him. Trust Him. Come unto Him means trust Him with it. This is so fundamental and so basic. And you can be a believer that's been in doctrine for 50 years. This never gets old, and it never gets unimportant. It is critical, and it will be for your whole life to master this. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. You know, I doubt that there's anyone in here that can't identify with the weary and heavy laden. It doesn't have to be physical. In fact, most of the time in our culture, in our society, it's not. Because most people don't work with their hands. They don't go out, and in the time in which this was written, they didn't have all the machines that we have, and it was arduous just to survive then. You would be weary and heavy laden just to survive then, physically speaking. And maybe you are sometimes in a physical sense, but today, you know what this is talking more about? Stress. You carry your load in your mind. And you know, if you carry loads with your muscles, that can be good. Strengthen your muscles. You know, people lift weights and they go to gyms and they have machines that are heavy laden. And they get weary working out. And that's fine. That's good. That counts. But you never want to be heavy laden in your mind, in your soul. I guess they would call that today stress. And stress is a killer. And I think there's only really two ways to get rid of stress. Well, maybe I know people could drink and forget it for a little while, or take drugs or that kind of thing. Really, to get rid of stress, for certain, you can rebound or you can kill yourself. I mean, you can faith rest or kill yourself. Usually you have to rebound and then faith rest because you're worried. I have a whole other thing that I was going to start right now. We just got through the verses part that I was going to read. The real meat was going to come now. Because what I was going to do, well, I'll just show you this part of it anyway. When this pops up on the screen, some of you are going to smile. And then, the order to these, as I'll never put it out in any fact.
No!
Whatever you do, Now, this isn't talking about relative righteousness. You know, we all have what we call relative righteousness. You can do good things. I can do good things. But the good things that we do cannot be even closely identified with the righteousness that God has. It is absolutely perfect. What does righteousness mean anyway? It means God's always right. You want to argue with God? You want to box with God? I don't think your arms are long enough. Perfectly righteous. Psalm 116:5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. Isaiah 45:21. I am the Lord and there is no other God besides me. Do the Mormons have that in their Bible? I'm sorry, I just have to. See, the Mormons think that you're just God with training wheels. You're just in the process of becoming a God. We're all a little God. And this verse says, I am the Lord and there is no other God besides me. A righteous God and Savior. There is none except me. There's no, you know, in Isaiah 45, where I did a search for that, I think I found that 12 times in that one chapter that it says, I am God and there is no other. Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Now, well, how does this relate to faith rest? Well, at least these three, very quickly. It just means that if you have a problem, do you have to be concerned that God is going to be unfair to you? Absolutely perfect injustice. Is he going to do something wrong? No, it's perfect righteousness. Yeah, but does he really care enough for me? Does he really love me? He loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you with a love that you can't even comprehend. I would like everyone now to please bow your heads. Bow your heads. There may be someone here that hears these good thoughts, but doesn't mean much unless you believe in the gospel. The good news. What's the good news? Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid your debt. He paid for your sins on the cross. That's an issue. Are you going to trust in your own works, your own righteousness, feeble attempt on your part to try to be accepted by God? Or are you going to trust in the work of Christ on the cross? on your behalf. The good news is that when you trust in Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. He went to the cross for you. He was buried and resurrected and offers eternal life to anyone who will trust Him for it. You can do it right now in your own mind. This can be the moment where you settle it once and for all. A done deal. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And in that moment, you'll be born again and you don't feel it. But it's as real as God is. Now, if you've done that, or if you have any questions about it, see me after. Now, Father, we're so thankful that You are in control. You love us. You want us to trust You with our problems. All we have to do is trust and wait. What a wonderful God. And we pray that You will help us to meditate upon these things. Be very quick to speak to others about what they could have also. And we pray these things in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and only Savior.